Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this morning with hearts of thanksgiving because you are good. Heavenly Father, we're all so thankful that you look upon us and you remind us of the things that we need to be doing. You remind us of your love, your grace, and your mercy. And then you ask us, Lord, to do that which you have reminded us to do. So as we open your word this morning hour, I ask and pray that, Lord, your blessing would be upon me and upon each one that would listen to your words. More so, Heavenly Father, as we listen to it, that we may apply it to our lives. And the message, Lord, that you have for us this morning, though one that has been expounded upon many times, as you have said, do, go and do, and thou shalt live. A commandment that you've commanded us to do, and we ask and pray, Heavenly Father, and I ask and pray with me first and all those that are listening, Lord, that we may act on the words that you are inspiring us to hear and to listen and to do. For this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start off with asking one question, and normally I do. Who is your neighbor? We had many, many sermons on this topic of who is your neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And I tell you that this came to me, or the Lord's brought me to this portion of Scripture because of the time and lives in which we live in, the events that take place, the current events. And it's so easy to get caught up in the anger and the frustration with the things that are going on around about us nowadays, with the different activists, different groups, and so forth. The Lord has led me, as I was doing my reading, to St. Luke chapter 10, if we can turn there, verse 25. St. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, we'll be reading from verse 25 through 37. A very well-known, very familiar portion of Scripture to us about the Good Samaritan. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is it written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he sojourned, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set on his own breast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showeth mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Neighbor, who is your neighbor? Who comes to mind when we ask who is your neighbor? Perhaps the person next door to you. Perhaps it's the person up the block or down the block. It's defined in, you can use it as a noun or you can use it as a verb. If you use the word neighbor as a noun, it's defined as the person living near or next door. If you use it as a verb, it's a place or a thing. For example, here in La Puente, if we ask you, you know, what's the neighboring cities around here would be El Monte, City of Industry, West Covina, Hacienda Heights, El Monte, and so forth. So the term neighbor could be used in a couple of different ways. When we look into the scripture and we start off with this portion of scripture, there's actually four characters that the scripture talks about. And I'd like to maybe expound a little bit on them. Scripture starts off, says that there was a man or a lawyer that stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And if we think this is probably not a one-on-one conversation, this is not a one-on-one FaceTime, he was probably around a group of people, and this lawyer was trying to tempt him, was trying to catch him in some kind of a trick question, perhaps. Maybe there was a sense of pride where this lawyer thought that he was smarter than Jesus, he knew the scripture more, because as a lawyer, you were one that defended the law. You're one that knew the law. You're one that could recite the law. The question was he fulfilling the whole law? And this is where Christ caught him. And Christ asked him, and he says, "How do you read the Bible? How do you read the Torah? How do you read the Old Testament? How do you read the laws or the books of Moses? You're an educated man. You're smart. How do you read it? What does it say to you? How do you interpret it?" And perhaps with some, maybe a pause or a little bit of thinking, he comes back and he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And you know what? He was actually correct. He knew it, and he was correct. This is what Scripture says. In Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy 6:5, also Leviticus 19:18. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." What does that mean? How do we do that? How would he do that? How do we achieve something like that? Because this is a two-part answer. One was loving the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind. And then the other one was loving your neighbor as yourself. I don't know if you have seen it when reading it, but I don't think this man saw it. Because what Jesus was telling him was loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind is a relational relationship, which is from me and you to him. This is a vertical relationship that we have. Loving your neighbor as yourself is the horizontal relationship, which is actually the picture of the cross, of what Christ did for you and for me. And then how we ought to treat others. Having that relationship with God and then having that relationship with mankind. And it's interesting as Jesus approached him, and when we read in different portions of Scripture, when somebody approached Jesus in tempting him, they asked him a question in tempting him, he always responded with a question. If you go back and you listen and read some of the interactions that he had, let's give you an example. Matthew 12, 19 through 13, Jesus went in the synagogue, and there was a man whose hand was withered. And they looked at Jesus and asked him if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath day. And Jesus responded, said, "Well, if you had a sheep, fallen into the pit, would you not lift him out? And then there was one where the Pharisees came up to him and they brought some money to him and said, hey, Caesar's picture is on this coin. Do we give tribute to him? Do we pay to him? Do we give our taxes to him? And he said unto him, he says, well, then whose picture is on that coin? And they said, Caesar's. He said, then pay tribute to whom Caesar, to Caesar, to what Caesar's. And when this lawyer gives this answer, he gave a very educated answer in loving the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your mind. One that would display his knowledge of the scripture. One that would display that he knew the law. And then Jesus responded to him and said, do this and thou shalt live. You see, that's what he was missing. He was missing the act of kindness. But when he came back and said, well, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus goes into this parable and says that there was a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. I don't know, for those of you that have been in that time, I don't know if you've walked that road or if they talked much about that. And from what I can see, this road is kind of it's a desert road. It's a road that there's an elevation drop of like 3,600 feet, so it's pretty steep. It's dry, a lot of rocks. At one point in time, it was called the road of blood because there were a lot of thieves that would ambush people that would be walking, and a lot of people would get killed or get injured. It wasn't a very safe road, if you will. However, it was a road that a lot of priests and Levites journeying from Jericho to Jerusalem would travel. And when Jesus talked to the people, he talked to them in a way that they can understand and something that they can grasp and they can understand and appreciate. And he says that there was a man that went from Jerusalem to Jericho. He didn't say who he was. He didn't say what his, whether he was a Jew. He didn't say whether he was a Roman or what. But as we kind of go through this, it kind of gives us a little bit of indication of who this man was. And he was ambushed by a bunch of thieves. And he was left half to die, half dead. And he tells us that there was a Levite. They came and looked at him and saw him and just kind of walked around him and then kept on going. And then a priest came by on the other side, saw him, kept on going. Why do you not think that the Levite or the priest would stop? Being that that's the responsibility as a Levite or a priest to help someone that is in need. A Levite was one that would pretty much take care of the temple and keep up with things that were going on within God's house. The priest is one that would perform the ceremonies, but yet they also knew the law that if this man was dead, that they were not allowed to touch him, because if they touched him, then they have to go through a cleansing period of 7 days, and then they have to be away from their people, and they could not perform their responsibilities. So they had another. There was another. I can't be bothered with this because I've got something already that I'm looking forward to, a responsibility that I need to do. And they kept on walking. And he says there was a Samaritan that came by and saw him. And when he saw him, where he was, he had compassion on him. Interesting that Jesus used the Samaritan. Why? We know that the Jews and the Samaritans really were not a group of people that got along together. However, they were neighbors. And when they were traveling from one place to another, if someone was traveling from Jericho, from Jerusalem to, let's say, Nazareth, Samaria was right in the middle. There's a road that goes right in the middle, but because they did not like each other, they did not get along with each other, they would go way out of their way just so that they wouldn't be near these kind of people. And there's been many sermons on that. Going to justify him asked, "Who is my neighbor?" And in this response, he was missing the understanding and the love for mankind and for humanity. You know, John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." If God loved them, should we not also love them as well? You see, he was missing the compassion part. He was missing the love part. We know that there are four types of love: eros, philia, storge, agape. The eros is the passionate love. The philia is the love of friends. The storge is the love that parents have for their children. The agape love is the love of mankind. And that's what he was missing. And when I was reading this and I thought of the portion of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 that is known as the love chapter, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have the faith so that I can remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing." You know, those that were around about perhaps that heard this dialogue between Jesus and this lawyer, and when he brought up the Samaritan, I would venture to say they would be a little surprised. Surprised because perhaps it was the Samaritan that perhaps would be doing the ambush against the Jew and not the other way around. That was their neighbor. That's his neighbor. They are to love them and not to be prejudiced against them. Galatians 5:14 tells us, "For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." See, Jesus was using the law as God intended, as a tutor to bring this man to Christ so that he may be justified by faith. The lawyer vainly thought that he was keeping the law, but his question, "Who is my neighbor?" was an attempt to justify himself. But in this parable, it shows that he wasn't even close to fulfilling the second half of the law, loving his neighbor, let alone the first half of loving God. It's interesting that Jesus used the Levite and the priest as an example, because those were his neighbors. He didn't use a Roman. He didn't use a Greek. He didn't use someone else that was far away, that was just somebody that was a Gentile, if you will. He didn't use a non-Jew. But he used the priest and Levite. So this is his story. This is what brought or brings and has brought humility to a man that thought he had all the answers. See, when we come to Jesus with sense of arrogance or pride, he will soon, very soon, show us what we know we really don't know, or what we think we know we really don't know. So how can we apply this story to our lives? You know, getting caught up with all the events that are here, and it's very easy to get put in a situation where you're perhaps build up a prejudice one group or another. maybe even a hatred, or this needs to be justified, or they need to get this or that, or this is they're deserving of this or deserving of that. So the question that came to my mind was that if I saw someone in need that I've already built up a prejudice to, will I, can I treat him like the Samaritan treated him? The parable of the Good Samaritan shows us a practical example of what it means to love our neighbor as we do, in fact, love ourselves. The Samaritan practiced the golden rule, treating this man as he would want to be treated. Specifically, Jesus is responding to the lawyer's question, "Who is my neighbor?" by showing him that our neighbor is any human being with a legitimate need whom we can help. John writes, "Whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed or truth." While no one can be saved by such good deeds, those who are saved should be practicing such deeds to glorify God. You see, when Jesus said, "Go and do likewise," or "Go and do so," he wasn't implying that this man is going to be saved by his deeds. But because he talked about loving the Lord your God with all his heart, mind, and soul, it's the relationship that he had with him. This is what Jesus wanted him to do. This is the other part of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. This is what it's about, loving your neighbor as yourself. But you know what? The lesson in love is a costly lesson. It's not free. We see here that the Samaritan man spent time, money, and a good deal of effort to help this needy man. He probably tore up his own clothes and bandaged his wounds. Perhaps he walked while the injured man rode on his donkey, and he gave the innkeeper 2 days' wages and told him that he would pay for further wages if needed. And you know what? Yes, perhaps the Samaritan was inconvenienced. The Samaritan could have said, "Hey, I've got something else. I can't waste my time on him." But he did. Jesus taught that loving your neighbor means intentionally and deliberately putting aside your own opinions, thoughts, prejudices, and preconceived ideas. He was teaching us the importance of loving people where they're at, in whatever circumstances they are, wherever in life choices they make, whatever clothes they wear, what language they speak, however they define their gender or sexuality, whatever religion they follow, whatever political status is. He is showing us that unconditional love can transform circumstances and lives. Romans 13:8-10 says, "Owe no man anything except to love each other, for the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love the Lord, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to your neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." So the question is, how are you going to apply this lesson in this upcoming week? The parable of the Good Samaritan shows us that if we respond to God's grace through Jesus Christ, then we are obligated to show the love of Christ in practical ways towards those who are in need. And Jesus concludes, "This do, and thou shalt live." I'd like to read not a story, but somebody put some words together about the man that was robbed. It goes like this. "It was a mid-morning when it happened. I heard them before I saw them. The 6 bandits clattering down the rocks. Enough time for me to assess the situation. Grim. To muster my courage, to grab my knife. Give us what you have, they yelled, and so I fought. But the odds were against me. They broke my arms, they beat me, they took everything, even my clothes, and left me on the side of the road, listening to the sounds of our goods being led away. I drifted in and out as the pain overpowered me, but I knew that help was on its way. These holy men were on the road behind me, an hour or two at most, and I would be saved. I woke to see that priest's healing walk away. My voice also deserted me, too dry to call for help. The vultures arrived at the same time as the Levite. I was watching them trace lazy circles around the cloudless blue skies and as they circled around me. The blood and the flies, too unclean for my hands, no doubt. I lay baking in the hot sun, waiting for death. A man on a donkey appeared on the road from Jericho, a foreigner. He greeted me with the words, "Friend, I'll help you." He put me on his donkey, no mean feat with my broken arms, and took me to the inn I'd left that morning. The innkeeper shook her head, and she looked at my wounds to my face. Ah, the man that was born in a barn. They tended to me that day, and now, 2 weeks later, I still sit here mending on the Samaritan's tab. Last night, the holy men and the priest Levite were neighbors at my table as they took the homeward journey. They would not meet my eye, which was not surprising. I do not know if they noticed that I could not meet theirs. I have no bitterness as to what they did not do. Instead, my mind is haunted by what might have been. Had they set out first, and I come upon them, broken and bleeding, would I have unloaded my donkey, left my fortune and my road, and carried them to safety? Each day, I am forever on that wilderness road. So the challenge that was challenged to me, and I challenge to you, is that when we come across somebody that is in need, will we stop? And will we do as Jesus commanded to do? Do this, and thou shalt live. May God bless his word.